Did you attain to your salvation by your own works, for the sake of expedience, convenience, perceived advantages, networking, fear of hell? Or was it just a thing to do? Who called whom is the title of his message. In the beginning was me. I wasn't a nice person, even at Christmas time. I really felt like a loser. Then I decided that I should go to church and maybe I'd get cleaned up and make God happy with me. I'm so afraid of hell. So I joined a church, whipped out my credit card, walked down the aisle after the pastor talked about the benefits of being in the family of God there, and I got born again. Yes, sir. Now I know I'm saved and I can live pretty much like I did before because I'm forgiven all the time. And I hope I get raptured soon. In a nutshell, the above is more or less the type of testimony we hear about one's conversion and how easy it was for them. This self-generated assurance cannot be farther from the truth. It seems that the many are called and few chosen thing is never factored into the minds of so many saved individuals. And by the accounting of the times, there are billions of born-again saved Christians. You know, you just can't seem to get out of their way. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Who can come to Christ unless he or she is drawn by his Spirit? Answer, none. Today's church is a den of infamy, sloth, and whitewashed tombs on two legs. The phrase of Jesus, many are called, few are chosen, directly affirms that it is not by means of a sales pitch, a teary-eyed plea, or motivational cheerleading, or something in your gut that says, I better get right with God, that we actually come to Christ. It is solely the will of God, through God's Spirit, that we receive from God the gift of the faith of Jesus Christ. Getting born again, as multitudes profess to be, is disastrously construed as being born from above by some exertion of our own wills. Think about it. It's not as receiving an unmerited gift from God. If one cannot understand or give heed to John 6:44, then the understanding of spiritual rebirth by water and the Spirit, John 3:3, never enters one's prideful, frightened, self-confident mind or spirit. By our own self-righteous deeds, we have decided to come to Christ. Those who have taken this path, not called by the Holy Spirit, but converted by some other means, a robber's way into heaven, will certainly stand before Christ in their own righteousness, not Christ's. They'll tell him the famous Lord, Lord, excuse about all their good works and cosmetic righteousness. We all know what Jesus will say, Matthew 7:21-23. I ask you, how can one fallen human being remake one's self, quote, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, 1 Peter 1:23. It's totally impossible. By the word of God means just that, and not by our own efforts. Let's see what we're really capable of when it comes to being a born-again and saved Christian, shall we? Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. If we delve a little deeper into Paul's words in his letters, we find that Paul himself attested to the immutable fact that even as a true, reborn follower of Christ, we still and will, until our physical deaths, retain all that is contrary to the Spirit in our flesh. And that's a study for you, and it's a pretty easy one. But here's a starting point. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So, what does our work to achieve salvation amount to? Paul gives us a rundown of what we really are inside as flesh and blood. And yeah, I'm going somewhere with this, so hang on to your lug nuts. Romans 3:11 through 19, and I'm going to read every juicy line. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Paul's including himself in this, folks. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Cool, huh? Well, for starters, if there are none that seek after God, then how is it that we can enter the spiritual kingdom of God by our efforts? That's a good question. Could Lazarus become reanimated by his own volition? Lazarus was a representation of the spiritually dead, as well as the object of Jesus Christ's power to quicken and make alive. Spiritually dead. Who awakened him? Yeah, correct. So where does that leave us? Yeah, back at who calls and opens our spiritual eyes and ears, quote, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Paul, by the Spirit, says, it's God. That's who. Since Paul said, quote, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, end quote, even though called and sanctified as he was describing that good fight of faith within. It's the fight against the powers arrayed against the believer, especially from within. And right there is what we call 0-1. It's the center of our fight against that which would deceive and destroy our souls. No, according to the word, we retain all the devilish propensity to yield to our flesh while we yet sojourn here in the flesh. Our sanctification is spiritual, thus the good fight to put our carnal minds into submission and surrender to our Father who called us to this great hope. There it is. I would remind you of a message that's the good fight and the wolves within. Now get this. If we dialogue with our flesh, we dialogue as Jesus did with the enemy in the wilderness. And there was no consensus, was there? No. You could dialogue, no problem. You know, you're just telling them where it was at. We meet the flesh with the sword of the word, the shield of faith, and the helmet of the hope of salvation. There's your fight, saints. If we are now not of the world, then where is our fight really? Yes. Yes. even against our carnal selves. Self always being assailed and tempted by the powers and principalities of the air, Ephesians 6:12. Again, there's your good fight. I don't believe that what I just said is a vain digression, rather the crystallization of the truths regarding the real battle. And that said, I'll move along here. Romans 3:20. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Remember, law also includes works. So it's pertinent to this message about what did you do to get your salvation, you know? Do you think that your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees? Matthew 5:20. Do you think that if it does, you're eligible to receive the gifts of God in the name of his Christ, especially salvation? The righteousness of the Pharisees was of the law or works, which condemned, not saved. Also, the righteousness of the Pharisees was of carnality, dead works, and good acting. Actors in the Greek translation, hypocrites. Without the gift of God and his Holy Spirit through Jesus the Christ, the Pharisees hit a wall in their attempts to be godly and righteous. He called them whited sepulchres, rotten on the inside and all whitewashed on the outside, looking good, you know. So hence, how else does someone become saved? Become saved. I hated that term. Yeah, by the calling of God's Spirit to himself through his Son and Savior Jesus. So it's back to square one, it seems, wherever that is. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? The word reprobate means disqualified. Not of the whole, many are called and few are chosen. The saints of God have entered not only a straight gate, but into God's rest, Hebrews 4:10. Our works and labors of love are toward God's name and glory, Hebrews 6:10. Whoever benefits from it is benefiting from a blessing from God through his servant, you. And servants do the works ordained by their master, not their own. Hence I ask you, are you working of yourselves for a well done, good and faithful servant? Well, I advise against it. Let God do his work through you, through Christ, which is in you. Don't you know that, quote, ye are not your own, end quote. 1 Corinthians 6:19. To whom did you surrender? To yourself or to God when he called you? Now, summing up, I do not profess to be a member of today's so-called church, nor do I care or like to be called a Christian. The purity and the meaning of those terms have been sorely diluted, polluted, and redefined as far back as the 3rd century. I follow the man, my God, Jesus the Christ, and none other. I belong to an invisible mystical family known as the body of Christ. The only decision I ever made toward accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior was to say yes when I was called. Yes, I will follow. I will obey. I will surrender. My hunger for the way, truth, and life was given to me by God. Gifted as it were, right there at the start It was a gift. Everything that empowers us to be a child of God is a gift, something we can't reach into our back pocket and pull out. We can't work for. We can't build. We can't think into existence. We are nothing. Nothing. A little humility there, saints? Yeah, you're nothing, just like me. Our God is everything, and Christ in us is everything, and we're servants. Period. And there at the start, when I got going, the real fight began. And so it continues until the end of this earthly journey through this valley of the shadow of death. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now, I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Which means I don't have all the answers, but I will give what is given me now. And the angels said to the Lamb, Jesus Christ, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4:11. When one is called by the Spirit of God, one will answer, one way or the other. Don't make the deadly mistake to consider yourself to be righteous enough to be noticed by God. Your calling, sanctification, election, and possibly your place in the book of life written before the foundations of the earth were laid are entirely discretionary gifts of the Creator. When you walk your narrow way, foreordained path, you are alone on it with Jesus in the lead. You are answerable to the Master you serve. Fear Him and give no place to temptation. Answer it by the Holy Spirit with the Word of God and keep going. Get serious, brethren. You're either in or you're out. There's no middle of the road here. It's not a game. It's your calling, it's your soul, and still your choice. It is a good fight for the few. The few are targets of the evil one. The few must fight their own carnality. And in a serendipitous twist of an Oliver Perry saying, I have met the enemy, and the enemy is me. The peace of Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.